Translation. Prabhupada, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared, as did stars like Ashvini. The sun, the moon, and the other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. And the trees and green plants, full of flowers and leaves pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the Brahmins engaging in ritualistic ceremonies ignited their fires, according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and Brahmins, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated in the upper planetary system. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that His appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental, and that one who factually understands them is immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the previous chapter. He appears out of His own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the constellation known as Rohini was also prominent because this constellation is considered very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma, who was born of Vishnu, and it appears at the birth of Lord Vishnu, who in fact is birthless. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. Auspicious stars were visible in the sky and on the surface in all towns and villages or pasturing grounds, and within the mind of everyone there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of water, and the lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full of beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the Brahmins were accustomed to offer sacrifices in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offering. Because of disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had almost been stopped in the houses of the Brahmins. But now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmins were very distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky of transcendental sounds proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the occasion of Lord Krishna's birth, seasonal changes took place throughout the entire universe. Krishna was born during the month of September, yet it appeared like springtime. The atmosphere, however, was very cool, although not chilly, and the rivers and reservoirs appeared just as they would in Sharat, the fall. Lotuses and lilies blossom during the day, but although Krishna appeared at 12 o'clock midnight, the lilies and the lotuses were in bloom. And thus the wind blowing at that time was full of fragrance. Because of Kamsa's disturbance, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies had almost stopped. The Brahmins and saintly persons cannot execute the Vedic rituals with peaceful minds. But now the Brahmins were very pleased to perform their daily ritualistic ceremonies undisturbed. The business of the Asuras is to disturb the Suras, the devotees, and the Brahmins. But at the time of Krishna's appearance, these devotees and Brahmins were undisturbed. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vijarne Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya Desitarne. I'll read the translation again. Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared as did stars like Ashvini. The sun, the moon, and the other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and green plants, full of flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the Brahmins engaging in ritualistic ceremonies ignited their fires, according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and Brahmins, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary systems. So without looking at the book, close the books. Yeah. See how carefully everyone's listening. What are some of the symptoms of when Krishna appeared? Can anyone remember some of the things that happened when Krishna appeared? Rosy hands. Yes, Manaji. Which flowers? Yes, that's good.
Ashvini star appeared. Is Ashvini star appeared?
That's what that, yeah, that's one of, what other stars, what other?
Rohini.
Actually, Ashvini is a constellation, not a star. But the Ashvini, it said Ashvini is the first constellation. And Rohini, it's not even, with, there's 27 or 28 constellations, I guess. Rohini's not even, I don't even know if Rohini's one of them. But Rohini, a constellation, also appeared. Star, the constellation of Lord Brahma. Yes?
We got the best symptoms of the different seasons, like the best of the spring, the best of the fall. And the flowers, they blossomed at midnight of the Krishna. Normally they should be closed. The lotuses were fully open in the middle of the night.
Yes?
Brahmins had peace forward in the core of their hearts because they had transcendental sound vibrations that the Lord is speaking because they were forbidden to perform sacrifice by Kamsa. Their homes became very pleasing to give offerings.
Good. Anyone else over here? Any of the ladies listening? Yes. All the animals? Well, the birds and the bees were. The bees were. The what kind of birds were? Is it mentioned here? Cuckoos. Actually, the peacocks too, but just as the cuckoos here. It says birds like the cuckoos, but also the in the Prabhupada's in the Krishna book, he mentions peacocks were dancing. were jubilant. So the cuckoos and the bees, they were chanting for with sweet voices for who? For the sake of the demigods. Yes. Anything else? Tama Riksha?
The lake is very full of water. Flowing full of water.
Yes.
And the Brahmas were hearing the kettle drums from heaven.
Who was playing the kettle drums? The demigods. Yeah. Kettle drums, it doesn't say, but the demigods. Yes.
It was a soft, pleasing breeze, although it was cool, it was not chilly.
Yeah. Well, it says it was, there was a soft breeze. Yeah, that's what it says. Pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of the touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. Anything else? Yes. Well, I don't know, but yeah, it was nice weather, but it didn't say the sun was shining. After all, it was 12 o'clock at night. Unless it was in Sweden. No, but it's a fact that it was nice weather for the time of the year. It says that the says the sun, the moon, and the other stars and planets were very peaceful. I don't know what happens when they become agitated, but at that time they were peaceful. Actually, what it says in the translation is Shantariksha. None of the constellations were fierce, because the constellations are divided into fierce, into many different ways. Some of them are fierce and some of them are peaceful. Not that the constellations are fierce or peaceful necessarily, but it's more auspicious to perform certain fierce activities under certain constellations. When the moon is in certain constellations, then when it's in certain constellations, it's better to make peace. Other constellations, it's better to start an activity. So here, I guess when the moon was in a certain constellation at the time of Krishna's appearance, then it was in a peaceful constellation. Little did the constellations know that Krishna would appear and kill all these demons. Of course, that made everything very peaceful. Anything else? Yes.
Twinkling in the clouds.
Yes. You can see collectively we were absorbed in the Bhagavatam. That way we can all go back to Godhead together. Sankirtan. And what were the three qualities at the time of Krishna's appearance that the universe was surcharged with? Take a guess. Peacefulness, that's one of them. I'm sure it was. What mode does that come from? Yes, goodness, peace, and beauty, yes. And the Sanskrit words are kala, parama shobana. Shobana means auspicious and very favorable from all points of view. Everything is quite auspicious. And here in the purport, do we leave out anything? Let's see, what do we leave out here? Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. That's about all we've practically covered everything. Here it says that if one can understand the appearance and nature of Krishna's activities, then he automatically becomes eligible to go to the spiritual world. Actually, if one understands Krishna's appearance and activities, then he's already in the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, janma karma chamevya divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take birth again in the material world, but attains my abode. So the word uses tatvataha. Tatvataha means by factual experience. Sometimes we hear that if we simply hear the Bhagavatam, then we can go back to Godhead. But hearing means that you're going to do something. Unless one hears and then does something, he hasn't really heard. Unless he gets an experience or is inspired in some way, he can't really hear. As I gave the example before, just like, for instance, if I said, I have information, a bomb is about to go off here and blow this place up, blow the temple up, then those who haven't heard, they'd simply sit there. They wouldn't do anything. And those who heard, they probably would think, what should I do now? We probably would expect that there would be manifested immediately some activity, like most people would run to the door, jump out the window or something. Depending upon one's realization, one would act in different ways. Similarly, the Bhagavatam, if it's the truth, for instance, even if I said a bomb was about to go off, probably most of us would sit there and they'd say, oh, sure, right. Because they wouldn't think I was telling the truth. If I picked up the bomb and showed the fuse, then people would probably think, is he joking or what? But the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, is reality. And if we take it as reality, then we'll do something. Of course, the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita says things like, we're going to die. And these things, it's hard for the conditioned soul to take seriously because we're so trained up in some kind of, dull. Prabhupada used the word dull. We've been more or less dulled by the material energy, so we can't take these things very seriously. But in order to go to the spiritual world, one has to take these things seriously. That's called tatvataha. In order to understand things in truth, one has to do or perform certain activities which will allow one to enter into the mysteries of Krishna's understanding. And that activity, of course, is bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. That one can understand Krishna in truth, in tatvataha, if he engages in devotional service. It is not simply by an intellectual exercise that one can understand Krishna. Unless one engages in an intellectual exercise and one day comes to the conclusion, for those who are sleeping, unless he comes one day after hearing the intellectual conclusion that you should perform devotional service. In other words, the whole purpose of going through an intellectual exercise or reading, trying to understand things intellectually, is to one day come to the conclusion that I should do some activity in a devotional way for Krishna. That there is a Krishna, he's a person, there is Krishna's servants, Krishna has desires, and I'm a spiritual being, I have a loving propensity. I should use that loving propensity to try to do something to please Krishna and his devotees. That's the whole purpose of going through all the intellectual exercises, is to find out what's pleasing to Krishna and to do that activity to please him. That's called devotional service. And that's the only way that one can actually understand Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Aditi Vishakha Ki Jai. Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Srimati Subhadradevi ki jai, Shri Shri Gaurani Taya ki jai. That's the only way one can understand Krishna. And without understanding Krishna, without performing devotional service to understand Krishna, one cannot become eligible to enter into the spiritual world. In the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Parambhuya pravakshami jnanam jnanam uttama yaj gyatva munaya sarve param siddhim ito gata. That now I'll explain to knowledge even in a better way than I've previously explained, by knowing which all the sages have attained to supreme perfection. This is the chapter called The Three Modes of Material Nature. And then Krishna says, Idam jnanam upashritya mamasa dharma agata sargepi no pujayante pralayan avyantanti cha. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can obtain to the transcendental nature like my own and not be born at the time of creation nor disturbed at the time of dissolution. So what is that knowledge? Yes. Yes, it's only knowledge about Krishna. Knowledge about Krishna, knowledge about devotional service, which is the only way of obtaining knowledge about Krishna. Although in the 14th chapter, Krishna explains something about the three modes of material nature, but ultimately his conclusion is, Mam jayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Engage yourself fully in devotional service and then you can transcend the modes of material nature. He doesn't really recommend to engage in any one of the three modes of material nature. He recommends simply to engage in devotional service to Krishna. As a matter of fact, when Arjuna is asking, Arjuna Vacha, Karalingais, what symptoms is one known who has transcended the three modes of material nature? Karalingais, Tringunan, Etan, Atito, Bhavati, Prabhu, Kim acharya gatam shayitam, kim guna ativartate. So Arjuna is asking some questions which are quite important. He says, my dear Lord, by what symptoms is one who is known as transcendental to these three modes? So we should try to know what the symptoms are. Otherwise, how will we know if we're transcendental? What is his behavior? And how does he transcend the modes of material nature? And Krishna's response can be summarized as he's neutral. He says, aprakasham cha praritis cha moham eva cha pandava advaisti sampravritani nivritani kangshati. That one who's Supreme Personality of God has said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present, nor longs for them when they disappear. In other words, Krishna doesn't recommend either, none of these three modes of material nature. He recommends neutrality towards the three modes, and that how does one become neutral to the three modes? When he engages in unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. Even in the mode of goodness, there's not necessarily love for Krishna. There's love for the mode of goodness. Although the devotee, when he's in pure goodness by performing devotional activities, that includes automatically goodness. And what are the symptoms? If he's in pure goodness, if he performs devotional service, and he's neutral, then automatically he displays all the symptoms of goodness, which is being principally being unattached, being dutiful, etc., etc., and all the good qualities. So this is our philosophy, basically. Yasyasti bhakti or bhagavata kinchana gunai Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavata Akinchana Savaraganas Tatra Samasute Sura Haravaktasyu Kuto Mahagunan Manorate Dasati Manorate Davati Manorate Davatovai, but Manorate Sati? No. What's that? Nasati, yeah. Manorate Nasati Davatovahi. That when one is fully engaged in devotional service, then all the good qualities of the demigods are manifested within him. And one who's not engaged in devotional service, although he appears to have some good quality, even the demigods, they appear to, actually most of the demigods are engaged in devotional service. But those who are not really fixed in devotional service to Krishna, one day they're a demigod, one day a Brahma, they're a demigod, and the next day, a Brahma, they're an ant. Therefore, they're, even in the mode of goodness, one may be on the mental platform. In order to understand this wonderful appearance of Krishna, we have to engage in devotional service. And by engaging in devotional service, we'll be able to see how, because Krishna is coming, everything becomes auspicious. And when Krishna is not there, everything is not very auspicious. We can see, for instance, in modern society, because Krishna consciousness is not very predominant, therefore, things are not as they describe here. For instance, the entire universe doesn't appear to be surcharged with goodness, beauty, and peace nowadays. We haven't seen the Rohini in a long time. The rivers are not flowing with clear water. And most of the lakes around here are, and the vast reservoirs aren't full of lilies and lotuses. Not too many Brahmins are performing auspicious activities. So many inauspicious things are taking place. For instance, when Hiranyakashipu was born, and his baby brother, Hiranyaksha, the whole universe was described in a different way. There were jackals crying, there was blood falling from the universe. Everything was very inauspicious. There were hailstones and all kinds of inauspicious happenings. It was cold, and even when the sun was shining, it was so many inauspicious things. In any case, when the demons become prominent, then inauspicious symptoms are there. And when the devotees become prominent, when Krishna becomes prominent, then everything becomes auspicious. And how to bring this about is by propagating Krishna consciousness. By putting Krishna in the center, then everything will become auspicious. And when Krishna is not in the center, even you may have, for instance, a kingdom like Ravana, full of gold and everything seemingly auspicious, but ultimately it was destroyed. It was temporary. Of course, this auspiciousness of Krishna's appearance may appear to be temporary to some persons, but we can, by just hearing these descriptions, we can relish the same transcendental happiness and pleasure, peace and pleasure that the devotees were experiencing. So in this way, Krishna's appearance is divya, is divine or transcendental. And because Krishna is transcendental and everything was auspicious, especially this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, is meant for relishing. Although Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is full of purports, but the principal purpose of Srila Vyasadeva compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam is to give the Paramahansas an opportunity to relish Krishna's pastimes. The Bhagavatam is known as Amala Purana, the spotless Purana. It's actually meant for Paramahansas. Dharma Priyodita Kaitavotra Paramoni Matsaradam Satam. Although it gives clear directions for the neophytes how to make progress in spiritual life, so that spiritual life becomes more pleasing and encouraging. But its main purpose is to give transcendental pleasure to the Paramahansas like Shukadeva Goswami, who by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam can experience the transcendental pastimes of Krishna as they are. And although we may not be on the level of Paramahansas, but if we try to understand the Bhagavatam and try to appreciate it, then we can also derive some pleasure. It becomes more encouraging and enlightening the more we can experience it. I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
When devotees experience some difficulties in their lives, their service or whatever, is that then due to the lack of presence of Krishna in the center of their...
It depends what the difficulty is. Depends how they experience it too. Kunti said, Vipadak Shantu Takshasvat Tatra Tatra Jagatguru Bhavato Bhavati Davat. Vipadak Shantu Takshasvat Tatra Tatra Jagatguru Bhavato Darshanam Natsyat Apunar Bhavadarshana. That I wish that I could see these calamities again and again, for by seeing them we also see you. And by seeing you, there will be no more repeated birth and death. If the calamities help one remember Krishna, then they're considered to be auspicious. They may serve as inspirations to help us become more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Certainly the Pandavas were liberated souls, but still, Vishan Mihagnir Purushada Darshanat, they were given a poisoned cake to eat. They were put into a forest full of man-eaters. They were put into a house made out of lac and it was burnt. So they thought, well, maybe we're Maya, therefore we're experiencing so many difficulties. But factually, these were just inspirations or impetuses for them to become more attached to Krishna. But a devotee, he generally thinks that if I'm experiencing some difficulties due to my past sinful activities, that Krishna is minimizing it, but it's an inspiration to become more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he prays more sincerely to Krishna, and he steadily goes on with his devotional service. So whether it's happiness or distress, it's not that just the distress is the basis of our past activities. Also, whatever happiness we may experience also has to do with something we may have done in the past. Therefore, one has to be tolerant both in happiness and distress and mainly concentrate on Krishna and Krishna's service, not on the happiness or the distress. Anything else? Yes.
Yesterday, the devotees were attending the ceremony of celebration before cremation of the body of Dr. Paul Prabhu. And could you explain how such celebration benefits the soul of Dr. Paul Prabhu? How does it work?
Well, there are some scars which are... Sanskara means impressions. Gives someone an impression. The main impression we want that they're meant for is to give people a Krishna conscious impression. Therefore, irrespective or irregardless of the state of consciousness that the soul had at the time of leaving the body, because unless one is a transcendently situated person, he can't really understand. There are certain rituals that are performed in order to help whatever the condition of the soul was at the time of leaving the body, whatever his consciousness. So some of the Vedic sanskaras, part of the reason is, for instance, burning the body is so that the soul doesn't remain attached to his material body. Sometimes due to attachment, the soul doesn't want to leave the body and he stays there. That's probably the main reason why they burn the body. As far as the other ones are, just like in any ceremony, everything is connected to Krishna. Ganges, water, or garlands offered to Krishna, just to help remind the soul of Krishna. Because even if one is still there, he didn't go back to Godhead, or he didn't get his next body, if he's still there, still it's always, in any condition, it's always auspicious to remember Krishna. As it says that whether purified or unpurified, in any condition of life, if one remembers Krishna, then everything was auspicious. Therefore, the whole our ceremonies are all connected with Krishna. And that way everyone becomes benefited by remembering Krishna.
Because my understanding was that after death, soul is not connected anymore with body, and doesn't...
Not necessarily.
If you go to a lot of graveyards, you'll find a lot of souls are still connected to their body. They don't leave. There's endless varieties in all parts of Krishna's creation, including after you leave your body. There are so many possibilities. If the Yamadutas didn't come and drag you away, or if the Vishnudutas didn't take you back to Godhead immediately, there's so many possibilities. Not necessarily. Just like when it's raining outside, to make it auspicious, you take an umbrella. It's not going to stop raining just because you opened your umbrella, but still, at least you won't get wet. So you hand out umbrellas to everyone. It doesn't matter if it's raining. Still, people will be protected from the rain. So the Sankirtan movement may not necessarily change what Krishna has, you know, what he decides to arrange. After all, the planets are only ultimately indications of what Krishna is going to do. They're not impersonal. They're being moved ultimately by Krishna. He's the one who sanctions everything. But they do have something to do with reality, otherwise it wouldn't be mentioned in the Bhagavatam. On the other hand, they're not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is Krishna. And in any circumstance, one is invited to take shelter of Krishna. But that doesn't mean that just by taking shelter of Krishna will change the circumstance. But at least we'll be transcendental or perhaps protected from the circumstance. Is that clear?
There's also a situation with planets and all, because I think when much planets were on the scales of the planets and all, in a certain way, they came to a certain way.
But that's where they were.
It was supposed to be like that.
Yeah, that's where they were moving in that direction.
It's not that moving because, I mean, like they appear and they're moving.
No. It's not that, you know, one day the sun was in Libra and it got word that Lord Chaitanya was going to advent, so it decided, you know, it went 3 months ahead into Leo, or, you know, 7 months ahead into Leo. No, that he appeared during auspicious, auspicious constellations. Well, if Krishna wants, he could move it, but if he did it, for instance, Nilambarak Chakravati, he predicted when the Lord would appear by seeing which would be the favorable constellations of the Lord to appear in. So at least in Lord Chaitanya's appearance, which we have record of, they didn't all switch around, do musical chairs and out of space. But Lord Chaitanya appeared at an auspicious time. I don't know about Krishna's appearance because you know, that's not really, I don't know where it's recorded. I think it mentions that there's some Samhita where it's recorded where his where the constellations were, but I don't know. But here, at least in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's case, we know. But generally, it's not that, I mean, Krishna comes right at the right time. It's not that he's called Daksha. He accomplishes many things at one time. So he knows exactly when's the best time to appear, and that happens to be at the junction of the best constellations. After all, he created the whole world. He probably figured himself into it too. He didn't leave himself out when he made the creation. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.